Welcome to Social Work Insider Podcast. My name is Harleni Vasquez, a licensed social worker and social work career coach. This podcast is the go-to resource for my fellow social workers to become the best version of themselves. Each episode, I'm going to share different mindset, entrepreneur, and career tips for you to implement towards your professional development. Are you ready? Let's go. Enjoy. Welcome back, my fellow social workers, to another episode here on Social Work Insider. And today's episode is truly going to be special for you all, because today I'm really going to be sharing so many amazing life events, live opportunities that have happened to me over the last couple of months. And I wanted to take a moment to really share with this community. So for those who don't know, y'all, in the last couple of months, about a month ago, actually, it's crazy, today's the 25th, I became a first-time homeowner at only 29 years old. And it's freaking crazy because I'm literally sitting in my home office right now recording this episode. And I'm like, I am a homeowner. Like, I did that. And like, no one can ever take that away from me. And it's crazy because now that I'm like kind of really reflecting back on just my journey, you know, my upbringing, I get a little emotional because, you know, for those who don't know, for those who do know, I often share my story. I often share that, you know, I was, you know, raised by a single mother, you know, growing up in low income, especially for 16 years of my life, I had to share one bedroom with my mom and my younger sister, which were only 2 years apart. And, you know, for a very long time, you know, once we moved out of that particular apartment, then we moved into like a two family home. And at that point, I still did have my own room, but I shared with my sister at that time. And then the same thing happens once we ended up moving again. Yeah, like I often say, for those who don't know, I've literally lived in every borough except Staten Island. No shame to Staten Island, of course, but I've literally, you know, was born in Harlem, you know, then moved to Dyckman, you know, lived there for 16 years, then moved to the Bronx, and then moved to Queens, and then moved to Brooklyn. And then, of course, now as a homeowner, I'm in New Jersey. But it's just crazy. And thinking back and just over the last couple of months and even looking for a home, obviously no one knew that I was actually, you know, embarking on this journey. It was just me and my fiance who actually took this, you know, particular journey to, you know, buy a home together and all of those things. But it's crazy because it makes me think, and I'm reflecting back now that I literally have a month living in this home, is that during the entire process at the beginning, especially once this happened and once, you know, we officially got, you know, the deed and everything like that, and the keys to the home, like I've had that sense of guilt. I had that sense of like, this is too good to be true. Something is going to go wrong, right? Like I had a lot of, you know, those like negative thoughts in my mind. Like, this is just too good to be true. Like, there's no way that I get to live here. Like, there's no way that this is my, you know, home. There's no way that I get to have a home office. And, you know, for a long period of time, you know, for a couple of weeks, you know, I felt that sense of guilt. And of course, as I always mention, I'm in therapy and everybody should be in therapy. Through like reflection, I was like, no, like I shouldn't feel guilt. Like I shouldn't feel like something bad is going to happen, because at the end of the day, I did this and no one can take that, you know, that feeling away. I mean, this is my home. Like I have the deed to the home. Like my name is on the deed. But I think it's very important, you know, the reason why I'm sharing this with you all is like, if you ever, you know, right now in this moment, have recently, you know, have an opportunity that has been, you know, granted to you, or just any like life-changing event, like, especially that is positive, I don't want you to guilt yourself. I don't want you to guilt yourself for your decisions. I don't want you to guilt yourself, you know, for putting yourself out there, you know, making things happen for yourself, because at the end of the day, only you have the power to do that. The same thing is that you only, same goal for how you have the same power to make yourself feel some type of way. And it's just crazy because I'm just still sitting here and I'm like, holy moly, like I did that. I became a first-time homeowner at 29 years old, and like I turned 30 like this weekend, and I'm just like, oh my God, like I'm gonna be able to look back and think about, you know, my particular journey. And yeah, no, I'm a hustler, right? Like I'm a hustler in the sense of like, not that I'm killing myself and all that stuff, but the beginning of my career, like even before social work and all of those things, like I freaking like, you know, killed myself to the bone, like, you know, really being, you know, at the sense of, you know, having, you know, roles where I had to, like, come home really late at night and, you know, really do home visits. And just at the end of the day, like, I remember being in that point in my life of, like, is life going to get better, right? So it's just crazy to kind of have that sense of, in this moment of reflection, to recognize that at the end of the day, right, you know, your brain is truly powerful and you truly, truly can have the control and the success that you desire if you truly put your mind to it, right? Commitment definitely goes a long way. But it's just crazy. I became a first-time homeowner. I'm just so excited. And y'all, let me tell you, like, I will always, always hold that special moment in my heart, in, you know, my soul, that moment that I called my mom on FaceTime the day that, you know, I got the keys to my, you know, house, and she had no idea. And I called her on FaceTime. I'm like, Ma, you know, I have a surprise for you. You know, she's like, what happened? And I'm like, look, I'm in my home. I bought a home. And she was just like bawling, you know, tears. Like, I, you know, couldn't compose myself because I was like, holy moly, like, I did that, right? And it's just like, you know, obviously I don't have kids yet, like everyone knows, but I can only imagine, you know, as a mother, to see your child, you know, accomplish their dreams and letting this be like the big, you know, only I would say the beginning, right? Because yeah, no, like, I always, you know, the power of manifestation. But it also makes me think about, now that I talk about manifestation, is literally, you know, I've always had the idea of, you know, buying a house, obviously, ever since I was a little girl. Right before the height of the pandemic, I was like, you know, we were discussing, my partner and I, like, we wanted to buy a home. But the crazy thing, the pandemic happened. And of course, you know, our plans changed. But I remember, like, last year, like, maybe come fall, I was like, listen, I'm getting a home, you know, come summer 2022, like, it's gonna happen. Like, I journaled that, like, I visioned that, I had that on my vision board. I was like, ain't nobody taking this away. Like, 2022 is coming in hot. And then, little behold, y'all, in literally in the last couple of weeks, I've also have landed a new role in mental health tech. You know, as a first gen Latina, you know, being a clinical recruiter, of course, if you want to find more information as to where I'm at, definitely check out my LinkedIn profile. But y'all, I am a first gen Latina in tech. And, you know, for those who obviously are like, Harleni, you know, but are you still going to be a career coach? You know, are you, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, y'all, I always say social workers, we can do it all. We can do it all. You know, we can have a successful career. You know, we can do what we love. You know, we can have side hustles. We can have private practice. We can do it all. There is no limit. The only limits that, you know, in this world that can be set upon is upon yourself. And discipline is real, right? Like, you have to be disciplined. But y'all, like, having this particular process, and I know my DMs were blowing up, of course, thank you all for the congratulations, but, you know, coming from that place of like, you know, I would love to hear, you know, your journey into getting to tech and, you know, how you landed that role, or even like, how can you transition into, let's say, like, tech or even like recruiting, you know, being a clinical social worker. And y'all, don't worry, continue listening to this episode, because I'm going to be answering all of those juicy questions. Now, the first thing to say is, as some of y'all may know, in my previous role, I was working for a nonprofit. You know, I was actually a talent equity manager here for a nonprofit in New York. And I was still recruiting. I was still recruiting, you know, social workers for school-based positions here in New York. But even during that process, because yeah, no, like, my personal brand, like, is freaking fire. And this is me, like, gassing myself up. But like, personal brand is absolutely crucial, right? Especially having your personal brand be on social media, whether it's like TikTok, whether it's like Facebook or LinkedIn. Like, y'all know my personal brand on LinkedIn has been developed for the last 3 years, and it just continues to enhance. It just continues to elevate. So everyone who knows me, they know I'm a natural career cheerleader. They know that I'm truly, truly invested and committed to uplifting this profession to the very core. And, you know, through my engagements, through my connections on LinkedIn, you know, actually someone had told me about an opportunity at the organization that I'm working for. Shout out to you, girl. You know who I'm talking about. But it's coming from that place of someone in my network recognizes my current skill set. Therefore, they put in a word for me. I checked out the position. They ended up, you know, working my magic, getting an interview, going through the rounds, and boom. And yes, it sounds so simple, but I just want you all to recognize that the power of LinkedIn is absolutely real. The power of networking is truly, truly like the biggest particular, you know, skill you can ever learn. And of course, everyone knows I'm also a huge extrovert, right? Your fellow introvert, you're like, yeah, that's not gonna happen for me. Listen, yes, it can. Because at the end of the day, you have to do what feels comfortable to you. I'm not saying you have to be on LinkedIn creating content and all of these things. It's very important for you to ask yourself, like, how bad do I want this? Or how bad do I want to achieve this goal? And you have to put yourself out there. You can't just, you know, expect to, you know, apply online to a position and then expect opportunities. It doesn't work like that, especially within this, you know, world, this upcoming, you know, remote world. Because of course, in this new role, I'm fully remote, given that it's mental health tech. But going back to like networking, it's very, very important that even if right now, let's say you're currently in school, you should be building your personal brand on LinkedIn, really sharing your unique skills, really sharing your mission, your why, you know, what do you hope to accomplish? Like, don't worry where you want to be in 5 years. Worry about the current skills that you have to offer in this very moment. If you're currently employed in an organization and you don't know exactly what you want to do next, or you don't want your employer to know that you're looking for a new role, you can still build your personal brand on LinkedIn. You still can display your current skills, you know, your overall mission, even if it's in the current, you know, type of scope of practice that you're operating right now. But all of those things will help you get to the next opportunity, right? And of course, the last thing is really be networking and getting in front of, you know, your future hiring managers, you know, your future supervisors. Start building those relationships and having those conversations, those informational interviews, which is basically getting a 411 from someone, but you're having conversations with people who are in that work in ideal organizations that you want to work in, or, you know, are in ideal roles. Or let's say you're currently, you know, working in private practice, and like I said, you want to transition into recruiting, right? Recruiting in tech. Talk to recruiters, get inside their head, see what type of, you know, how do they speak? What's their language like, right? So it's very important for you to get in their head. Now, going back to this particular process for me, and again, becoming a clinical recruiter in mental health tech, you know, one thing that I can definitely say, which of course is what I show my clients, is really get comfortable in being able to speak about your current skill set. Be very comfortable and really having your elevator pitch on deck. But most importantly, listen, we're social workers. We know how to, you know, gather data. We know how to analyze data as well, gather information, you know, use your current skill set. Because even though, yes, it's very important for you to get a sense to who you are. And yeah, no, I am. Everyone knows me as a natural career cheerleader, truly uplifting this profession and just a huge, huge focus on professional development. That is part of my personal brand, because as you all know, like, I literally believe that to the core. Like, I just freaking lit up when I started talking about goals. I mean, y'all be seeing me on stories. But I think it's important, too, that I want to take a moment to say that, you know, within this process, this has been like the version, I guess, I don't want to say that this has been the moment that I achieved my highest potential, but what I'm trying to say is that I just felt so, so comfortable in my own skin, right? And I think too, when like thinking back, because obviously I recently got this new role and I became a first-time homeowner first, I think too, like me going through this particular transition in my life and just being able to accomplish something that I've been wanting for so long, and then being able to see like, wait, I did that. I was able to let go of my fears. I was able to let go of those limiting beliefs, because at the end of the day, that day, it literally like, it hit me. Like, Harleni, no matter as you believe in yourself, like you can accomplish anything you want and you will, right? So I think I was already in that particular headspace going into this interview that I was already like, okay, you know what? Like I feel this is the most surest I ever felt about myself. So I already had that confidence, and not in a cocky way, not saying that I went into the interview saying like this is who I am or else, But I think it was coming from that place of like, listen, I'm a freaking asset. Like, this is what I have to offer at the end of the day. Like, I'm putting all the cards on the table and this is who I am. Like, I showed up of my authentic self, like 110%. And I want you all to get comfortable with loving yourself. Loving yourself where you are in your journey right now, because there's an employer out there that's definitely going to align with what you're looking for. You shouldn't feel like you have to put yourself in a box and, you know, conform to the employer's, you know, norms and all those things. Like, you have to own who you are in this very moment, because that's only going to help you elevate yourself to be able to get to where you truly want to be, right? And then another thing that I also want to mention is that, you know, obviously, besides you being comfortable and about speaking about yourself and being able to identify your current skill set, you should definitely always tie it back to them, right? So this honestly is funny, because as a career coach, you would think that, you know, even in my interview prep, you know, process, I will go in. But even in my previous roles, like, I don't want to say I winged it, because I just kind of went in there. But this particular interview was like no other interview that I ever, like the way that I prepped, like I had pages and pages and pages of notes. Like, I literally visualized myself in that role before I even went to the interview. I even had a conversation with myself in front of the mirror as to how this conversation will go and how I will back up my answers. And here's a beautiful thing that I always tell my clients. Most of the time, the job description is going to highlight the type of questions that they're going to ask you in an interview. So you should be literally highlighting every single thing to the core and being able to back up the things that you don't have much experience in. So that's one thing that I also wanted to mention. And another question that I definitely wanted to tackle that I've definitely been getting a lot ever since I made this announcement is, how can established clinicians, you know, licensed clinical social workers, or even like licensed master social workers, transition into whether it's a recruiter role, you know, transition into, let's say, like any other role within, you know, tech, especially if they only have direct experience. So let me tell you all this particular, I guess, some insight for those who don't know. Prior to this role, I already mentioned that I was still, you know, recruiting for a nonprofit. Prior to that, I would then never, ever had recruiting experience in the sense of like only being a recruiter. Primarily of my experience as a social worker has been in social services, you know, working with children and families in underserved communities, providing trauma-informed care. And through various roles, I've always had leadership opportunities in the sense of like whether I was, let's say, a case planner or a social therapist, and, you know, let's say there was a new member on the team, I will always be the first one to jump to help them, you know, onboard, right? Or help someone, you know, with learning specific systems. Then, of course, when I became a social work supervisor, I definitely had to recruit, you know, for my particular roles. But for those who have not had a leadership role, honestly, you have to also do a career inventory of the things that you currently have done so far. For example, if you do a lot of community outreach and building relationships and getting referrals for your clients, you're doing a lot of networking and you're doing a lot of outreach. That is absolutely a transferable skills that can help you, you know, elaborate how you will recruit candidates, right? The same efforts and the same methods that you're doing, whether you're, you know, talking to different organizations, conducting outreach, say on LinkedIn, will be the same way that you would do that to find candidates, right? The same way that you're also doing clinical assessment, biopsychosocial assessment with clients and really getting understanding of their overall strengths, you know, their overall goals, will also be the same way how you will conduct a screening to get a sense of like, why are you currently interested in this role? You know, how does your own mission and values align with our mission and values? You're using those social work lens. And number one, building a relationship. Y'all know how to build foundations of building a relationship and enhancing the, you know, relationship as well. the foundations is very important. You have those foundations. Honestly, this is why I say that social workers can truly do it all, because school obviously did not teach us how to market ourselves or anything like that, but it taught you the foundation of how to engage with another person, right? So whether, again, this is very recruiting based because obviously the theme of this particular episode, but what I want you all to know that is very easy to transition from clinical to, you know, macro, or even to step into a role, again, recruiting or corporate. You have all of those foundational skills to help you basically level up. So I know I definitely said a lot, y'all. I just really wanted to take a moment to really just share with you all, you know, my recent accomplishments, right? Becoming a first-time homeowner, landing a job as a first gen in tech. And, you know, now that I'm also saying this out loud, it's like, again, being a first generation Latina in tech, like, even though I told my parents this, like, they're like, tech, like, what is this, right? Like, they will understand, like, what that is. But I think it's important for me, for anyone who's listening or even trying to get into tech or currently working in tech, is that, yes, there's so much noise out there, just like there is in the social work profession about, you know, in tech, you know, the culture and this and that, you're going to get burned out or they don't value you. Yeah. One thing I can say is this is why it's so important for you to all to do your research. Really talk to people who are in that organization, who have been working there, that can really elaborate on, you know, the work culture, and even especially remote companies, like, how are they, you know, treating their employees. And y'all, even though I only have about, you know, 2 weeks at my current company, they definitely value employee, you know, wellness. They're definitely invested to ensure that, you know, work-life balance. I mean, I guess self-care Fridays. I mean, the list goes on, but I want you all to know, again, you're in full control. So next time you go to your next interview, make sure you write all of these things, your non-negotiables that are truly important to you. Whether you want to have a hybrid schedule, whether you want flexibility in your schedule, whether you want, you know, a culture that's going to elevate you, that's going to provide you with the resources that you need in order to thrive and do your job effectively. So yeah, I hope this, you all find this very, very helpful. Another thing that I want to say, y'all, is make sure you tune in to next episode on August 8th, because I have a special guest and I also have a huge, 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 huge special announcement coming to you all. Listen, y'all, 2022 is my year, and I'm just so excited to have you all part of this community, because like I always say, pa'lante, you know, we're here to elevate ourselves, and I'm really invested in uplifting the community. So until next time. Thank you for tuning in on this week's episode on the Social Work Insider. For more resources, feel free to check out my website, yourevolvemind.com. That's all for now. Till next time.